Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something pretty tricky in causal inference. What happens when your outcome, the thing you're measuring, isn't just a simple average?
Right, when it's a more complex economic parameter.
Exactly. We're diving into sources that really challenge standard methods, you know, like OLS and GMM. They show why these common tools can fail pretty spectacularly, actually, in this specific kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission today is to unpack that failure and show how, well, how using a different technique completely changed the story on a major policy evaluation. We're talking about the 2005 Dutch childcare expansion.
Yeah, a really important case study.
Okay, so let's get started. These model-based outcomes, what makes them different? What are we actually measuring?
So think about parameters that you estimate from micro-level data using some kind of model. They aren't just means. They might be firm-specific wage effects or, say, estimates of productivity like TFP, or the big one in our example, the child penalty, how much a woman's earnings or employment changes after having a child. That requires estimation. It's not just an average.
Okay, got it. So not just counting heads or averaging incomes. It's something derived. Now, here's where it gets interesting, right? A big policy comes along, like that child care reform. It affects a whole group. The sources say the policy doesn't just affect the outcome. It, like, shifts the whole distribution of the data underneath. Yeah. Why is that such a problem?
That's the core issue. It creates what the papers call endogenous weighting bias. See, standard methods like GMM or OLS, these one-step estimators, they implicitly weight observations based on the sample you have.
Okay.
But if the policy changes, who is in your sample? Maybe the childcare reform encourages more educated women back into work, for example.
Yeah.
Then the weights used by the estimator change because of the policy.
Ah, so the policy is kind of contaminating the calculation itself.
Exactly. It creates the spurious link between the policy and the weights. The estimator then mixes up the policy effect with this change in who you're measuring. Your results become inconsistent, biased.
Right. So the standard approach is basically flawed from the start. If the policy changes the population composition,
mm-hmm.
What's the fix then? How do we get reliable results?
The sources strongly argue for a two-stage minimum distance estimator. You'll see it called MD.
MD.
The idea is, first, you estimate your parameter, like the child penalty, for a specific group using just the microdata. You get a consistent estimate for that group before you even consider the policy. Then, in a separate second step, you look at how those pre-estimated parameters relate to the policy variation across groups.
So you separate the estimation of the thing from the estimation of the policy's effect on the thing.
Precisely. And crucially, the MD estimator uses explicit weights you set, or weights estimated in that first stage. It doesn't use those implicit GMM weights that get messed up by the policy. It mechanically avoids that specific endogenous weighting bias.
Okay, that makes sense. And this switch from the one-step GMM to the two-step MD, you said it had huge consequences for the Dutch childcare study.
Huge is probably an understatement. It was a profound difference. The original standard one-step analysis, it suggested the policy was a massive success, like boosting mothers' earnings by up to 12,000 euros.
Wow.
And increasing their labor force participation by maybe 13 percentage points. Big numbers.
Yeah, sounds like a huge win.
But then the preferred two-step MD approach, the one designed to handle this weighting bias, it found the effects were, and this is a quote, an order of magnitude smaller.
An order of magnitude. So like tiny in comparison.
Pretty much. The conclusion totally flipped. It went from this narrative of a game-changing policy to something much more marginal. A minor adjustment.
That's striking. Just changing the statistical method changed the entire policy takeaway.
Yeah.
So is this MD approach the silver bullet? Are there any catches?
It's definitely more robust to that weighting bias, which is key.
Mm.
But there is a potential issue. It relies on having reasonably large groups for that first stage estimation. If your groups are too small, yeah, you can run into a different problem. If the policy itself affects whether you can even estimate the parameter for someone in the first place, like maybe the policy affects who has kids and you need kids to estimate the child penalty, then you can get a kind of policy-induced sample selection bias within the MD framework.
So it avoids one bias but might introduce another if groups are small.
Potentially, yes. Consistency is usually fine if group sizes are large enough, or, and this is important, if researchers can bring in other information, like known population averages, to help stabilize that first stage estimate and bypass the selection issue.
Okay, so it's powerful but needs careful application.
Definitely. And it really forces you, the listener, to think. When you see a policy evaluation, especially one using complex outcomes from microdata, are you sure that the reported effect isn't partly or even mostly just a result of the policy changing who gets measured? Is it a treatment effect or a composition effect?
Yeah, that's the critical question, isn't it? The big takeaway seems to be worry about the weights. When you have these model-based outcomes, the policy might be subtly changing your sample composition, and standard tools might not catch it. Which leads to a final thought. Think about studies on things like worker mobility or fertility choices, where policies definitely influence who does what. Could some of those big reported policy effects actually be, well, partly bias driven by these compositional changes rather than the true causal impact we think we're measuring? Something to consider.